what to say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What to say. That it's all for the best, of course it is. What to say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What to say. What did she say? Today we're going to start a new series called The Power of Words. We just finished a series called Change Our Sound. We believe that everything that comes into our ears, the sound that we have, it affects our attitude, it affects our heart, it affects our emotion. I mean, come on, sound, it moves our emotions, right? Come on, do you girls warm up to classical music? No, you warm up to what? Music that gets your blood pumping, right? Music makes you want to dance. It can make you want to, you know, wah, 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 wah. Come on, ladies, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. Music moves us. So what we hear moves us. Do you realize that we have power in the words that we speak? If you don't realize that today, I want you to really understand this. There is power in our words. The Bible says there's so much power in the words that we speak. It says there's no idle words that come out of our mouth. Today I want to talk to you about the value. Everybody say the value. The value of our words. The value of our words. I remember when I was a kid growing up, my dad would collect these lead pipes that he would be at construction sites or places on jobs, and they would have all these junk pipes. And he would bring them home and pile them up in our backyard. And I'm like, Dad, you're such a hoarder. You know, you're making the backyard look bad. You got all these piles of lead pipes everywhere. And then he would take that lead and he would get his cooker out and he'd start melting that lead down. And he would pour his own sinkers and weights to go fishing. You know, he loved to fish and he was pouring his own stuff. I'm like, Dad, can you please just don't be such a tightwad. Go buy something. Because you're stinking up the whole neighborhood. I don't know if you've ever smelled lead being melted before, but it didn't just stink. It stank, okay? It's worse than stinking. It stank, man, the whole block. We've been playing basketball with my friends or baseball, and you know, you can smell that stink, and people are like, ugh, what is that smell? I'm like, I don't have any idea where that's coming from. Let's walk away from my house. Let's get down the street. It's time to go further away. I was so embarrassed, you know. And then, you know, later on, he collected them. And then when I got ready to go to college, I remember the weekend before I went to college, my dad said, come on, son, let's go out here to the backyard. Went out there. He goes, we're going to cut this lead open. You can pull it apart. Then I want you to take these wires out of here, all this shiny copper stuff, and I want you to make a pile. And so we cut open the lead pipes and we pull it apart. We make one pile of copper wire out of the lead and the other pile we put the lead into. And we worked for a couple hours. By the time we got done, we had a big pile of copper. He goes, son, now take that copper and put it in the back of my truck and drive down to this place. He goes, they're going to weigh it and they're going to give you some money for it. And when you take, I want you to take that money and buy your books and help you get into school. Okay. And so I went down there and to my amazement, I got several hundreds of dollars for all this copper. See, it just had been back there all the time, as I thought was junk. My dad knew he was saving it for a rainy day, and he seen the value of what was inside. I couldn't see that at the time. You see, I think this is kind of the same way with our words. We don't see the value in what we speak out of our mouth. We don't see the value in our words. And what I want to open your eyes today is this, is that every word that comes out of our mouth has the power of life and death. It has the power of life and death. And the Bible's very clear that it wants us to understand this principle that the words out of our mouth speak life or death. I mean, think about it. What other spiritual principle in our life do we use the most throughout the day than when we speak? But how many of us just take for granted what we're speaking? We don't give thought to what we're speaking. We don't give thought to the negative things that come out of our mouth. We don't give thought to what's coming out of our mouth. And the Bible is very clear. He wants us to realize, man, there's a lot of power in what comes out of our mouth. Our words really are a matter of life and death. You ever had somebody say that to you? I need to speak to you. It's a matter of life and death. Our words really are a matter of life and death. Let's go to our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to spend a lot of our time here in verses 20 through 21. We'll read 22 in just a minute, but let's pick it up in verse 20. It says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. What is this saying in verse 20? It's saying this, is that what comes out of our mouth will return a harvest to us. What comes out of our mouth is what the fruit will come back to us. Our words are planting seeds. Our words are planting seeds that will give harvest to our life. And when you just give negative words, and you plant negative words, what's going to happen? You're going to get a negative harvest. But if I can begin to say, you know what? I want to begin to plant positive words. I want to begin to plant words from God's heart, from God's mouth. I want to plant positive things. I want to speak positive things. When I begin to speak those things, I'm also planting positive seed in my life. Why? Because I want that kind of harvest. It says, with the harvest of their lips, they're satisfied. The tongue has the power of what? Life and death. Let's say it together. The tongue has the power of, one more time, the tongue has the power of life and death. It's there. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. So our words affect the climate that we work in, that we live in. Words affect every part of our life. You ever thought about how God created the heavens and the earth? Some of you say, well, yeah, I learned about it in school, Pastor. They're like, there's just two molecules. They're like, they collided in space. And bang happened, you know. And out of this big bang, all this order came. I mean, today, if you believe that, I say you got a lot more faith than I do. Because it takes a lot of faith to believe that two little molecules in outer space collided and then all this order just happened to be there. I mean, it's something as simple as our watch. You've heard me tell you before. Something as simple as my watch. If I bang it up with a hammer, throw it in a sack into 1,000 pieces, and I shake that sack up for 1,000 years, when it's opened up, is that watch going to be back together? No! It's still going to be in 1,000 pieces, right? The same thing. Why would I think that all this order would happen just because of a bang? No, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe God spoke it, and bang, there it was. That's what I believe. I believe. Why? Because do you realize the DNA code in every single one of us is unique? None of us have the same DNA code. And our DNA code, if it was charted out, would go to the moon and back for every one of us. It just blows your mind when you think about all the order of the universe and all the order in our individual body. That came from a creator. And the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create? It says that he spoke things into existence. He looked out and said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. He said, I speak out. He said, let the land begin to form, and the land formed. He said, let the seas begin to come and divide the land, and the seas brought division to the land. He says, let vegetation grow, and trees begin to grow, crops begin to grow, flowers begin to grow. I mean, he created every living creature through the power of his spoken word. God creates through the power of spoken word. And then the Bible says that you and I are created in God's image. And so if we're created in God's image, could it be that you and I have more power with our words than what we created ourselves for? Could it be that our words have more weight and more power in the spiritual realm, in today, where we live every day? Could our words have more power than what we really realize? Our words have power. God created us to have this power in our words. But the problem is this, is that we've let some people come along. Listen, anytime you have a spiritual principle, you can always find somebody who abuses that spiritual principle. And so there's been people come along and talk about the power of faith and the power of speaking out what you need from God. And then pretty soon they got this thing where you just name it and claim it. you know, and they're going around, you know, hallelujah, I read your book, and I attended your seminar, and I come there, I'm praying, God, I want a new red Corvette. Woo! Little red Corvette, hallelujah! Does God want you to have a red Corvette? I don't think God really cares if you have a red Corvette. If your bills are paid and you pay your tithes and you can afford a red Corvette, more power to you. I don't think God really cares. But we want God to bless what we want. What would happen if I paid my tithes and offerings to the Lord and the car I did have was on breaking down, was falling apart, and I began to pray, God, I need a better car. God, I need a better car right now. I need a raise. I need someone to give me a good deal. I need something. But God, my car, it's broke. I need something different. God, I need a better trans. You think God cares about that? I believe he does. And I believe he'll honor. See, there's a difference between today. There's a difference between me trying to get just what I want versus what I need. And I think many times in our life, we've allowed people come along and they've taken a spiritual principle like this. They've exaggerated, so we just kind of like, man, those flakes out there, they've taken this and abused it. And so we back away from it out of fear. What I want you to do today is this. I want you to realize, you know what? This is a very much true promise for every believer. Every believer has the power of the words that come out of your mouth. There is spiritual power in that. There's power of life and death, and you need to recognize it. You need to operate in it. And you need to have an understanding of it, and don't let somebody else stop you from walking in the blessing that God has for your life. And so today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to realize this. We need to stop trying to get God in agreement. Stop getting God in agreement with our words, and let's start getting our words in agreement with God. You see, that's where the power is at. I don't say, God, this is what I want. I'm speaking out this word. Now you come and bless it. No, God, you've already spoken out a word, and now my words come into agreement with what you've already said about my life. My words come in agreement with what you've already said about my health. God, my words come into agreement with what you already said about my marriage. God, my words come into agreement with what you already said about my family. God, today, what you say about my self-esteem, God, about who I am, I'm chosen. And so my words come into agreement with that. That's where the power lies. So let's do this. This is what I'm asking you to do. Over the next few weeks, I want you to say this. I want you to just lay aside any preconceived ideas maybe that you had about this topic, about the power of our words, and say, you know what? God, I want you to speak something fresh and new to my heart. How about we do this? How about we just open up the word of the Lord? Open up the word of the Lord today. And say, hallelujah for that static, amen. Open the word of the Lord. And we just say this, God, I'm going to just look at your word. Let's just look at the word of the Lord and say, God, we're going to do this. We're going to do this today and allow your word to speak to us. How many think that's a great concept? I want to know what the word of God says about my words. Not just some author, not just some preacher, but I want the word of God's words in my life. Thank you. Let's just say, God, I'm going to allow all these things to go aside, and I want your words to come alive in my heart. Will you do that today? Will you just say, God, I want the scripture to speak to me and give me a fresh revelation. If that's you, Jason, I'll raise my hands. I'll do that, Pastor, over the next few weeks. I want the Holy Spirit to speak something new to my life. All right, let's do this today. Write this down. Number one, words connect us to God. Words connect us to God. See, our words, they have the power to connect God from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. Our words have the power to connect God from the spiritual realm and to our natural realm. Do you realize this, that God sent Jesus to be the bridge from us to him? Jesus is the Son of God who was sent to earth, what? To be our bridge, to connect us to the Father. So keeping this in mind, let's read John 1:1, and we'll read verse 14 as well. John chapter 1, verses 1, then we'll skip to verse 14. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the what? Come on, word. Everybody say word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now we know the word is Jesus, right? He was with God in the very beginning. And the reason why we know it's Jesus, because look what it says in verse 14. It backs it up. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who came down? What was the triune God who came down to earth to walk on earth and to give his life for you and I and raise from the dead? Who was that? That was Jesus. So we know that the Word is talking about here is talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know Jesus is the Word. Someone say, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Now look at Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word, why? To heal them and to deliver them from their destructions. So Jesus was sent through the power of the word to what? To bring healing and to be delivered. Is it no coincidence today that the word it brings deliverance? It's the word that brings healing. It's the word that brings us back to the Father. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. He sent the word. See, as a Christian, you must know this. And listen to me. You got to know this. Romans 10. Look what it says to every one of us here. But what does it say? Verses 8 through 10. The word is near you. It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, there it is, we're speaking it out, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. But it's with your mouth and what you say, right? What you say, what you profess, your faith, and you are saved. It says everyone who calls, speaks it out on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we see that our words connect us to Jesus. So today, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Tom, come here real fast. Give me a quick hand. Today we know that God the Father sent his son Jesus. So God the Father, Pastor Tom, you're the Father, and you sent your son Jesus to be our bridge to the Father. Because I'm sending you the word, the living word, to come down and to bridge the gap between me and those on earth. And so what happens is this, is that he's sent. But the Word of God also says that we have all sinned, every one of us. Whether you have one sin or you have a million sins, doesn't make a difference. All sin separates us from the Son and from the Father. So he sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. But our sin still separates us from the Father. How do we cross the bridge? He just told us, when we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart. See, when we believe it in our heart and then we confess, Jesus, you are the Messiah. I believe you are God's only Son. Then that crosses out sin in my life, and it connects me to the Son, who connects me to the Father. It's through the power of our words. Hear me today. It's through the power of our words that we are connected with God. It's not the how good I am. It's not how good of a person I am. It's not how good my mom was, how long the church my dad went to church, or my mom or grandma. No, every one of us have to give an account for our words. My words are what connects me to the Father. Thank you, guys. Give me a hand. And see, this comes against the teaching, because there's people out there that are teaching that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world. Therefore, we're already saved. We're all going to the same place, so we're already saved. And that goes against what the Bible teaches us. It says, yes, Jesus did die for the sins of the world. But I have to believe it, first of all, that he died for the sins of the world on the cross. And then I must confess it with my mouth before that comes into operation in my life. See, the power of my words, they are what connects me to the Father. And what we didn't realize is this, that many of you prayed that prayer, asking Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. And when you did, you connected with the Son and the Father through your words. Could it be that our words not only connect us, but our words keep us connected. Our words keep us connected. Our words keep that alive. Our words keep us growing deeper. Our words keep us going stronger. My words connect me to
the Father. We got it. Look what Matthew 12 says now, verses 31 through 37. Jesus, now what was going on here, let me give you a little pre-story on this, is that Jesus had just cast out. They brought a demonic person to him, man, and Jesus cast that spirit out. And these guys are sitting around going, man, this guy is like the devil. Jesus, he must be evil because he's casting out these evil spirits. And Jesus, who knows everybody's heart, he begins to speak, and I love how he does it. He's so politically correct, right? Okay. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word, see, there it is, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, he can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Then he goes, make a tree good, and his fruit will be good. Now, remember this. When the Bible talks about a tree in the Bible, it's symbolic for their heart, okay, for our heart. So tree represents our heart, and fruit represents our mouth, okay? Trees represent our heart, and fruit represent our mouth, and we'll see this backed up later in Scripture. He goes, make a tree good, our heart good, and its mouth will be good, its fruit will be good. Make the tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by what comes out of its mouth. The tree is recognized. Look what it says. Then Jesus says, hey, you brood of vipers. I love Jesus. Hey, you brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? Now look, they're saying Jesus was evil because he cast out evil. He's like that makes any sense. Really? Why would evil cast out evil? Evil's not going to reject evil. He goes, listen to what you're saying. He goes, for out of the mouth speaks the heart. Out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man speaks the things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone, that's all of us, will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words we're acquitted, and by our words we're condemned. See, it's my words. I've got to realize that I have to give an account. I have to give an account. Did I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord? And did I believe it truly in my heart? And did I confess you as Lord of my life? Did I believe and confess that you are the Son of God? Did I do that? If I didn't, the Bible says, we'll be condemned. But those who do, your words acquit you. We're forgiven. Placed into right relationship with the Father. So our words connect us to God. See, our heart is recognized by what comes out of our mouth. The Bible says the tree is our heart, the fruit is our mouth, and what comes out of our mouth is what's coming out of our heart. That's why Jesus was really adamant about this. He says, listen, guys, listen to what's coming out of your heart. And he warns them, listen, you're going to miss heaven if you harden your heart. He goes, you're going to miss it if you harden your heart. If you say this is not the Son of God, if you say this is not of God, be careful what you're saying because you'll miss it. He goes, you're in danger of missing heaven. Your words, they're either going to condemn you or your words are going to set you free. Realize what you're saying. So Jesus deals with the heart and the words right away. Isn't that really where the real issue is? It's our heart. It's a heart issue. What's coming out of our mouth most of the time, okay, all the time, is a fruit of our heart, right? There's something going on in our heart that needs to be right. See, Satan always twists God's words. He does it. Satan's always been twisting God's word. Satan tells every Christian that you're not really saved. Oh, God doesn't really love you. You're everybody, they can be saved, but you've done way too many bad things. You've done way too many bad things. You're not really saved. Satan tells every believer that, and then he tells every non-believer, hey man, you're already saved. You don't need to do that. All roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to God. So you just do what you want. Live how you want to. You don't need to confess that. You don't need to believe that. And so Satan tells us all. Listen, he told Jesus. Now remember, Satan was in heaven when Jesus was there. Satan knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows he's the living word. Jesus comes down to earth, takes on man flesh, and then Satan goes to him and says, hey, if you're really the Son of God, jump down from there and let God save you. I mean, you see what he was doing? If he's going to attack Jesus and tell Jesus you're not really who you think you are, how much more will he attack you and I and say, oh, you're not really saved? You know, God doesn't really love you. No, he's going to take those things. The Bible says he's the father of all lies, and he speaks it to us. And so we got to be wise and realize that what God is wanting to do is the words I speak connect me to God. God, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you're God's only son. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And when I believe that in my heart and I confess it with my mouth, then no wrong I've ever done in my life will keep me from crossing over that bridge. And now when God looks at Jesus, he sees me just like he sees Jesus. Wow. That's the power of our words that connect us to God. And number two, the last point I'm going to give you today. So our words connect us to each other. Our words connect us to each other. All right, let's go back to our original text here in Proverbs 18. Remember verse 20 and 21? From the fruit of our mouth, our stomach is filled. The harvest. Remember, we're speaking out that harvest. Verse 21, we have power and life in our tongue. Now look at verse 22. He who finds a wife, wah, 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 finds a good thing. Amen. He who finds a wife, what is good? He receives favor from the Lord. Now, I used to think about this. Why would this scripture, this verse, be right here in the middle about how we talk, how we communicate? Why are we? And I used to think, you know why God put that there is because women talk a lot more than guys. And so they need to know this principle about what they're speaking. But I don't think that's really true. What I think is really true, this is my opinion, in much study over this and praying over this, I really believe what was happening here was he's spending all this time talking about be careful how we say, be careful what comes out of our mouth, how we communicate. Life and death are found in the words we say. And then he's saying, listen, he who finds a spouse, man, it's a beautiful thing. And what was happening? How do you find a spouse? You don't just find someone and marry them without ever communicating to them, taking time to talk to them, to hear them, to grow in your relationship together. He's saying, listen, just as you communicate and find that spouse, just as you communicate, so when you communicate, the good words coming out of your mouth, they marry you to the Father. They marry you to your relationship with God. And they affect the relationships around us. See, our words affect every relationship. Our words connect us to each other. Our words build communication with each other. No communication, no connection. So what does that mean? Stop speaking death over your marriage. Stop speaking death over your finances. Stop speaking death over your children. Stop speaking death over your family. Stop speaking death over your job. Stop speaking death over your business. Stop speaking death over your health. Stop speaking death over your happiness. I'll never be happy again. Stop speaking that. You're not going to be if you keep saying it. I'll never love again. You won't. You keep saying it. Because the power of what you say is the seed that you plant and the harvest you will return. And so we've learned that I've got to connect my words with God and my words connect me to other people. My words either speak life or they speak death. Let me ask you today, do your words bring healing? Do your words bring cleansing? Do your words bring encouragement? Or do they continually tear down, creating doubt, causing division, causing negative vibe, man? I mean, are you always speaking the negative? What's coming out of your mouth? Pastor, you don't know my husband. Well, I just encourage you today, what are you speaking over your husband? This last week, my wife's wanting to repaint the inside of our house, so you guys pray for me. This is really testing our marriage. But as many of you know here, because I've used it for a lot of illustrations here at Destiny before, we got this hole in our wall. You know, my idea of fixing the hole in the wall is you just put a shelf over it, you know, or put something in front of it. But now that we're painting, I've actually got to repair the hole in the wall. And it's just big enough for one of those patches you buy won't cover it up. So I've actually got to take time. So I was watching a video today, how to repair this. I'm not much of a handyman, you know, but I'm watching this video. I can do this. So I cut out the sheetrock from stud to stud, you know, and got it and measured it out. And then I start sanding it down. It won't fit. And I sand it down a little more. It won't fit. Sand it down and pop right into place. And I back up like, that thing doesn't even need nails. That fits so good, Pastor Tom. It was like, bam, pop. Neil almost called you. It was great. Taped and mud the thing and put a couple coats on it, sand it down. My kids are like, Dad, why did you wait so long? You know what my wife did? She could have said, honey, why did you procrastinate so long fixing that hole in the wall? My God, you let the house fall apart. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Wah, wah, wah. You know what I'm talking about? But instead she goes, kids, look, Dad is a regular Chip Gaines. I had the putty knife in my hand. I'm like, yeah. All of a sudden, I become Zorro. Walked around, seen nail holes, and putty knife that. Yeah, too. Chip. Me, Chip. Honey, let's flip a house. I think we can do it. Her words affirm me. Her words build me up. See, it motivated me. She motivated me to want to do more. She knew it. She always knows. Her words motivated me to do more. See, words release life or they speak out death over every situation. The power of our words. I can be very honest with you today and tell you that I wouldn't be here today speaking to you if my wife had not spoke words of affirmation and encouragement in my life early on. I can tell you I was voted most likely to be kicked out of Bible school. I can tell you that. Man, I was a heathen. I had no idea what I was doing. And when I finally spoke, I was bad. I know you have a hard time imagining that today, but I was really, really bad. I remember the first time I spoke. Man, I was so nervous, Pastor Tom. I got up and I went blank. The whole room turned white. And then 10 minutes later, the whole room came back and I said, all right, I must be done. I have no earthly idea what I said. I got done. My wife's like, oh my God, you are so good. You are awesome, baby. You need to be on TV. You're awesome. I was bad. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was bad. And she had to convince her mom. That was even harder. He's not that bad, Mom. I promise you. There's something inside there. I see it. And she would affirm the good things in me. She spoke over me. And I can tell you right now that I wouldn't be here if my wife hadn't affirmed the call of God on my life early on. She hadn't spoke over that and encouraged me through those early years. I wouldn't be here today. But she shaped me with her words. She affirmed me with her words. Our words bring power of life and death. I love having special times to speak life over my children. Speak affirmation over my children. So I can tell you, sometimes I blow it. There's been times I spoke the wrong things. And Dad's going to say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I've had to come back and apologize and say, I'm sorry. There's also been some times I've hit a home run. When I've had a kid by herself and I call out something and just compliment on something that they didn't think I was going to compliment them on. Man. Congratulations, you got your first paycheck. So proud of you for working hard. Well, when they had their best game of their life, and I go, you know what? You're pretty awesome on the field, but let me tell you this, though. Want to know why I'm most proud of you? It's because every Sunday I see you down worshiping the Lord. You got a heart for Jesus. I believe in you. I believe in you. I love you. Those words shape them. They shape our families. They shape our children, to shape our life. What are you speaking? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking death? Our words connect us to the Father, and our words will reconnect us with those we grow apart from. Look at this last statement today. Words can either destroy our relationships, or they can restore relationships. See, our words will either destroy or restore. Some of us here, our words reconnect us to the Father. We were connected a long time ago, but we've drifted apart. We haven't communicated in a long time. So our words, Jesus, I'm sorry, I've neglected you. I want to reconnect with you as the Savior and Lord of my life. Hey, boom, those words have a way of bringing me right back connected to the Father. Our words reconnect us to those around us. Here in a few weeks, many of you are going to be having Thanksgiving dinner with people you haven't spoken to in a year. Let's be honest, come on. Some of those people you could really care less about speaking to. Something's happened, hurt feelings have happened over the year, and you just drifted apart. Let me tell you this, even if you were not at fault, if you would just speak the words, your words have the power to restore that relationship. Hey, I'm sorry we've drifted apart this past year. I was mad about some stuff. That's not important. What's important is this, is that family is family. And we work through this. What's important is this, is that I don't have bad feelings when we drift apart. What's important is this, is that we don't allow these stupid things to come between us. I want you to forgive me for being mad. Even if you're not the one wrong, those words will drop down walls of resentment and allow healing to take place, and allows me to be Jesus to people around me. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. It says this. I'm sorry for having these hurt feelings. See, our words have the power to restore. Our words have the power to reconnect. Your words are either destroying, or your words are building people up, developing them, restoring those relationships. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads today, I just want to ask you, if you're here today, say, Pastor, I've never said these words, and these will be the most powerful words you've ever said in your life. I've never said the words out loud to God. I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I've never confessed that out loud before. Today, you want to make that your prayer. You want to confess that. You want to build that bridge back to Jesus today. If that's you, see, I won't do anything to embarrass you or single you out, I promise. Nobody's looking but me. But can you just raise it right now and say, Pastor, that's me. Today, I'm ready to connect back to the Father. Anybody here? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else today? You're ready to connect to the Father. How many here say, Pastor, I've prayed that prayer before, but I've allowed myself to drift away. I haven't been communicating at all. My words have been so far away from God. And today I realize God's wanted me to communicate better to Him and reconnect. If that's you, raise your hand. That's me as well. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. This is what we're going to do. For those of you who raised your hands and said that you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to say these words out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it with you out loud as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I confess you as Lord of my life. I'm a sinner, and I thank you for your grace. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you all of my days, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yes, it's an awesome thing. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, I'm going to invite you just to go back to our hub. We got a free Bible. We'd love to give that to you as our special gift today with some other things inside there. I'm going to invite every one of you to stand on our feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, you're speaking right to me. I got to realize the power of my words. I'm going to learn to speak live. Anybody here? The Holy Spirit speaking to you. I need to speak live. I'm ready to speak live. I'm ready to speak live. Come on. Let's speak it out. Let's sing it out. Let's speak what God says about us. invite you just to open your hands to the Lord. I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you that, God, your word teaches us instructions about the power of life and death with our words. I pray that, Father, throughout today and the rest of this series, that you begin to awaken something in us. God, a spiritual awakening. That, God, we realize the power that we're speaking out over our own life, over our family, over our friends, over our job, over our children. God, I pray that, God, you begin to guard our hearts, guard our mouths. God, may we speak blessing. May we speak affirmation. May we speak healing and cleansing. And, Father, may we please you with our words. And, Father, I thank you for what you're doing. And we say yes and amen. If you believe that, put your hands together. Bless the Lord. All right, before you leave, let me tell you one thing. If you want to be connected to a DC small group, go to our website, okay, mydestinychurch.com. Whole list of groups, summer meeting in the evenings tonight. DCY, we'll be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, first Wednesday. We'll see you then. God bless you.